basically, we're trying to do this anniversary.
All right.
Podcast, 7 years of podcasting. Chilling with Villains, the podcast.
Excellent.
But, you know, because of this coronavirus, we've all had to adjust by doing things remotely. We even had some ideas to do a podcast outside. Me and Andy was trying to, like, get that plan underway, but we're going to try to go, like everybody's having difficulties, man. Even the professionals at this shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so much that's going on, you know. It's just, you know, it's, yeah, everyone has to take adjustments, you know. It's just...
That's it. Everybody's got to adjust. Sound quality might not be what everybody's expecting, but what can you do? We're doing the best that we can, trying to put out content.
Exactly.
For those of you that don't follow us on Instagram, then you haven't heard any audio from us since March.
Oh, wow.
So listening to this recording now as we speak, we're end of June. We are
June 29th.
June 29th?
2020.
Yeah. So we're going to try to piece this together as
a three-part series,
best way we can, trying to interview each member of the podcast family that doesn't live in-house. So it's me and Annie, the think tank here.
Hello.
That dude Nick over the phone.
Hey, what's going on?
And let's get this underway. Chilling with Villains, the podcast. I'm your host, of course, Gary the Villain, in the building. In studio with me, Andy Think Tank.
Hello.
Over the phone, that dude Nick.
What's going on?
All right, we're going to do things a little differently now. Most podcasts, you know, we have Smith here, we have Jess here. We talk about everything in pop culture. But one of the things that we gloss over the most, because majority of us here are don't follow sports as well as me and Nick here. So the topic that we could dive into with this podcast, with Nick on board with us,
is sports. Sure.
Sports. We can go all in on sports. You know what I mean?
So this is your sports segment.
This is your spotlight, my friend. Like,
excellent.
This is where you get to shine. You get to spread your sports wings. Uninterrupted by Smith and his hijinks. But before we even get that started, shout out to Khadija.R on Instagram. Shout out to Reams at SoundCloud.com. So Nick, man, since this pandemic started, okay, lots of things have happened in sports. And like I said in the intro, if you haven't been following us on Instagram, where we've had some live Instagram shows, if you've only been listening to the audio, you haven't heard nothing since March. So since March and now, I think literally hours even before I got on the phone with you, something has happened.
Yeah.
In sports. It's constantly fucking moving. But let's try to give the people what they want to hear, like, or as much as we can, of course. Let's start with the latest big news. And we're gonna start that way and then we're gonna work our way back. Let's start with the biggest latest news. Not including I think it was DeAndre Jordan is no longer is opting out of playing in Orlando, but we're gonna get to that.
Yeah.
Let's start with Cam Newton.
Of all teams, I mean, just when you think everything is, the Patriots are going down, for any like Patriot hater there, with Tom Brady gone.
Yeah, you know, there's Patriot haters over here. You're the only one that's a Patriot fan in this three-way call going on right here.
Yeah, no, it's exactly. I mean, I thought it might be a down year this year, but. It's Cam Newton. That's a pretty big sign.
But now, like, Cam Newton's coming back from injuries, no? Coming back from surgeries?
Yeah, surgeries and being cut by the Panthers for Teddy Bridgewater.
Bridgewater, oh my God.
Yeah, that tells you. I mean,
the name Teddy Bridgewater says a lot. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but. I'm pretty sure if I seen Teddy Bridgewater, I'd be intimidated, but By name alone, I don't imagine him as being somebody intimidating. Maybe that's just me judging by its cover.
I mean, that's to me, it's a dude that got knocked out when he played in Minnesota. Like, yeah, like, and he was just looking into space off of a cheap shot. So,
but like, okay, Cam Newton, what did he get? What did he get surgery on? His back, his knee, his arm? Didn't he have several surgeries? Injuries?
I think it's a combination of all of them. Like, it's over the years, all those injuries have built up and he's missed time. So, I think it got to a point where, you know, Carolina had to be like, are we going to pay such a amount of money for a guy who's going to be virtually injury prone? But he didn't really have much help in Carolina. Like, can you name any offensive weapons he had? Can you, I mean,
well, the receiving core was lackluster.
Yeah.
Their O-line, if he was getting hit that much, I don't even need to know who was on their offensive line. If your quarterback is getting hit the way he is, you guys ain't doing a good job.
You're not protecting your franchise. I mean, that's the difference, I guess, when Cam Newton's looking. He's like, yo, Tom Brady's being protected as well as he was. I mean, why am I even suffering here in Carolina if they cut me here? Like, I'm going to go. It's scary. Like, if he has an offensive line that can protect him, that's scary.
Well, what I mean by like emphasizing on dude's injuries is that he's had 10 injuries.
Yeah.
Jeez. How long has he been playing?
The first day that I have is 2019.
Well, I think he's been playing since, I would say, almost a decade, if that. It's been a decade. Yeah, so his injuries have piled up. I mean, but it's not that long a career. I mean, he's only in his early 30s, like, you know, so.
Okay, so what I mean by that is that, I mean, yeah, he's talented, but is this a guy that you think, based on what has happened to him injury wise, should he just throw in the towel and say, "Look, no more football"? Like, does it matter that he's now going to the Patriots? Is like the O line that he needs is that going to be enough? The weapons that he's going to get in the downfield, is that going to be enough to continue his career, or is like we're talking about a guy who's just going to get one good clean hit and be out?
Yeah, it's a risk. I mean, I think though that with the contract he signed, it's a win-win for the Patriots, basically.
Well, what is the contract?
It's basically a one-year contract.
One year?
It's just 1 year. So it's basically, if he gets hurt or anything like that, then, you know, it's not like they're held, it's not going to hold that much money under the cap, you know, for the Patriots. You know, they can move on from that, so.
Okay.
And if he succeeds, then it seems like it's the Patriot way, basically.
But he'll have to take a pay cut, because even if he does succeed, let's say he wins a Super Bowl with the New England this coming season. Let's say he wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
New England is notorious for not paying people exorbitant amount of money.
Exactly. I mean, they always have a worst case scenario, like with the Patriots. So it's, and I mean, if he succeeds and they pay him, which, you know, that's good for him. I mean, and if they don't, it makes Cam Newton more valuable to other teams throughout the NFL. So
do you really think that much valuable? I mean, like, we're talking, like I said, a guy that's coming off multiple injuries,
surgeries. If he succeeds in New England, but if he doesn't, then I don't see it like going that much more forward. But if you succeed in that kind of market, that's only going to increase your value. But if you don't, then I don't know, man. I don't know where it goes from.
And Annie just showed me the 1 year contract is $1.75 million.
Yeah. So I was just looking. Yeah,
it's basically peanuts.
Exactly. It's like, and all this is
up to $7.5 million.
Up to $7.5 million.
Yeah, with incentives.
Okay, that's still not a lot of money.
In the NFL, it's peanuts. Like, you can get cut for less than that. So, but it just goes to show you it's. But what gets me though is that he's getting this, and there are guys. We're not in the NFL, like Colin Kaepernick for one.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, it's there's a risk in it. But I mean, if it goes well, the Patriots looks really smart here.
Yeah, they've been known to do really good moves. You know.
Yeah.
They've been known to do really good moves for the sake of success.
Exactly. I mean, look what they did with Antonio Brown. Like he messed up. Gone. That's it. You know. So if Cam Newton messes up, it's a low risk for him.
Well, only time will tell. Only time will tell. Well, speaking of Patriots moves, man, we'll go on to the next subject. Speaking of Patriots moves, Tom Brady, okay, before even Cam Newton ended up being now the number one quarterback in New England, there was a number one before Cam.
Yeah. Still,
there was a Mr. Tom Brady that was there, won a whole bunch of Super Bowls for New England, and I think he was one of the first big trades this summer.
Yeah, I'm still in charge. I thought he was
Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I don't know what the fall is. But of all teams, can you picture Tom Brady in another uniform?
I can't even imagine it. I don't even. To tell you the truth, I can't even imagine it.
Exactly. I mean, him and then Gronk comes out of retirement.
That's another thing, too. Okay, we were playing fantasy last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know why, but on our app, on the Yahoo Fantasy app, they were kind of dangling Gronk.
Yeah.
Dangling him in the free agency as if, like, there was a possibility he could come back.
Yeah.
Okay? And I was like, get out of here. The dude said he's retired. He's retired. If he's not going to the gym, if he's not trying to, like, stay in shape, there's no way he's coming back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had no confidence that Gronk was coming back. But then I hear Tom Brady go to Tampa Bay. I'm like, whoa, wait.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Then you hear Gronk is in the package. I'm like, I almost fainted.
Yeah. And then you hear the package.
How does that work? I was like, what?
I was in shock. But then you hear the backstory about it. It's like all Brady had to do was he made a call to Gronk. That's basically what it was. So it's like, we need you here. Like, I need you. So it's like... And Gronk basically said, I wouldn't have come back for anybody else but Brady.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm sure it's been asked about on, more credible sports shows, of course. But what do you think does that move have to do more with the New England Patriots organization? Or the way that Tom Brady feels about, Belichick and all that shit? And how Gronk feels about Belichick?
I think it's more of a rift between Belichick and Brady. As difficult as it for me to say, I think the organization made a choice to side with Belichick. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, with Gronk...
Well, if you look at the Garoppolo move, getting rid of Garoppolo, that wasn't... I don't see that being... That was more of a sacrifice for Tom as opposed to Belichick. Belichick, if it was up to him, he wouldn't have traded Garoppolo.
No, exactly. I think this time, the organization sided with Belichick, whereas in the past, it kind of went with Brady. Because Garoppolo would still be the Patriot. You know, and it didn't work out like that this way around. And I think this, realistically, you're talking about quarterback in his mid-40s now. But you don't really know what happened. I always thought that Brady would have retired or Belichick would have retired together. I think that was the initial plan. They were going to... And then just something happened with those two that kind of separated them. And Tampa Bay, to their credit, it's like, you know what? Let's swoop in there and let's take advantage of the situation.
And now think about that. Tom Brady, okay? He's got Gronk back.
Yeah.
And he's got two crazy... receiving guns, man.
Yeah, it's exactly
Godwin and Evans.
Yeah, Evans, Mike, right? Evans and
Mike Evans.
Yeah,
Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Those two, man. Woo!
With a guy who can throw you the ball. No disrespect to Jameis Winston, but he's no Tom Brady. You know
what makes me laugh about Jameis Winston, dude?
Yeah.
The way he threw, you were like, this guy has to be blind.
Yeah, literally. The fact that Mike Evans made this guy into a superstar?
Yeah. For a guy that couldn't throw or couldn't... I'm not gonna say he couldn't throw, because later on we discovered that dude had to get like corrective eyesight surgery.
True. Yeah.
So now it just explains everything. Dude couldn't fucking see.
But you would think in Tampa they would have, you know, he was there for how many years?
That's like being a pilot and you're afraid of heights.
Exactly. It's so preposterous.
You can't see and you throw the ball to people?
Again, what? 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 It's like a receiver and you can't see the ball coming towards you.
And like, come on, as receivers, okay, those guys are you got to give them a lot of credit. The dude absolutely. They were basically saying, yo, just throw it anywhere, dude. I'll figure out the rest.
And I think it's pretty much what it was. Because Mike Evans, like, throw the ball anywhere and I'll catch it. Which is a testament to him. I mean, he was a killer in fantasy. But it's scary. He's going to have Tom Brady throwing the ball to him. And if Tom Brady's healthy, holy shit. Like, him and Godwin and Gronk are going to go off.
Serious, though. Tampa Bay is going to be a scary fucking team.
Yeah, that's going to be friggin' scary. Like, I think we gave, like, a fantasy nugget. Like, if you got Tampa Bay offensive weapons, draft them.
Serious.
Yeah, like, don't... That's a scary thing.
Well, let's move on. Like, before we even get to, like, because of the pandemic and everything, if football is going to return or not, we just finished talking about two big things that happened to two quarterbacks in the NFL. But there's one in particular we got to talk about based on all the if you've been following the news lately with Black Lives Matter and the police brutality protests going around the world, not in just the United States.
It's worldwide.
Worldwide, man. Over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis.
And Armand Arbery.
And Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, like, we could go down the list.
You know what I mean?
But it's been going on for too long. And not to, like, dwell on that, it's that this one question that I had with someone was like, What made this so different?
It's a very interesting question. I think we're in the social media era that it's not that it hasn't been going on, because this has been going on for years.
Yeah, and I don't mean to sound like uncaring or whatever. It's like, well, what do you mean? Like we should be used to this or something. I'm not even trying to say that. I mean, like, as somebody at our age, we've seen the tape in 92 of Rodney King.
Watch documentary. Like, you know, seriously.
No, before any of you guys seen a Trayvon Martin or a George Floyd or Philando Castile on the internet, we as young men, we seen that 92 footage. That caused the big riots in LA. So, not to say that we're desensitized to it, but if no change had come from that incident,
then we didn't expect change to ever happen. But
we were completely discouraged. You know what I mean? Like, completely, like, willing to fight, but to what end? Like, look, that happened back then. We still going through bullshit today.
Exactly, and I think now it's the social media era. Basically, no one's gonna tolerate that anymore. You know, it's like enough is enough. We're gonna hold people accountable for their actions.
Yeah, we want accountability. You want to change. And then one person now, if we want to tie this in, one person now that represented in the NFL, Colin Kaepernick.
And exactly.
And he literally got blackballed out of the league for his protest by taking a knee.
Exactly, and for people who think he wasn't a sacrificial lamb. I mean,
Now, speaking on that, how do you feel about now the NFL, like every other fucking multi-billionaire company now, is now saying Black Lives Matter are bad. We didn't know. You know what I mean? Or some shit like that. How do you feel about them backtracking now, saying that Kaepernick should be in the league now?
I'm sorry. I'm in a stance where Goodell had no stones. I'm sorry. It's It's like, who's...
Like,
I don't know.
Do you feel Goodell, like the commissioner of the NFL, do you feel like Roger Goodell was pressured by owners?
I feel he was, and I feel he sided with the owners. I felt he didn't have his players back. I'm sorry. It was so obvious when Kaepernick did what he did. It wasn't about disrespecting the military, but he didn't have his players back. And then you come back, fast forward 3 or 4 years later now, it's being proven, oh, we messed up. I mean, if I'm Kaepernick, I'm like, where were you 3, 4 years ago?
Right.
You know? Exactly.
And now, like, let's say, okay, now Roger Goodell's saying Kaepernick should be playing in the NFL. But, like, we can't speak for Kaepernick, but let's say you're in his shoes. Would you go back?
No, I wouldn't. Because, I mean, no disrespect, but I would have considered, if I was Kaepernick, if this had happened maybe a year, you know, it's been 4 years. You know, it's so obvious that the president of the states, for example, had to chime in and basically blacklist him. You know,
How did he say it again? He's like, don't you wish someone would fire that son of a bitch?
Exactly.
Get out of here, you're fired. Like your fucking TV show.
Exactly, like his fucking, you know, that's a whole other story. Like, but he was so obviously blacklisted for them to make an about face. I mean, if I'm Kaepernick has found his calling, though, and he's brought awareness to a whole body at a whole different platform. So,
yeah.
Really kind.
I mean, it sucks that he doesn't get to do what we knew that he initially loved, to play football.
Yeah, you could say good.
I mean, it's for a damn good cause, dude. Like,
yeah, he sacrificed.
Me personally, like, I don't want to like judge the man if he went back to play football. I don't want to judge him on that, because that's something that he loves to do, and there's a monopoly on where to play football on the biggest stage. You know what I mean? There's nowhere else you can really go and play. I mean, yeah, he's got the CFL here in Canada, but
yeah,
the stage is not as big as the NFL. The NFL is a huge multi-billion-dollar industry,
and the career span in NFL is very short. So,
yeah,
I think. I mean, we can't speak for Kaepernick, but you know, I don't think he's going to rush to come back. I mean, could be wrong, but the platform to reach so many more people is, you know, I don't know if going back to the NFL, like, is the right thing for him. You know, and you don't even know about the original settlement that NFL paid to keep him out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another elephant in the room. Like, it was so blatantly obvious that he was blacklisted.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, no team wanted to take him after that. We even had one statement say, "Yo, well, he's coming to Kaepernick was coming to their training camp or whatever." He said, "Pray for us."
Yeah.
Yeah. Said that. I can't even remember which team. I think it was the Ravens. I can't even remember.
We had the Ravens. We had the here in Seattle. We heard. All over the place. That's why I'm shocked right now. It took you 4 years now,
yeah,
as a league, to be like, oh, my bad, our bad.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine?
Yeah,
someone had to be fucking lynched. Excuse the term, or choked out, exactly. or knee melted on, or whatever, for you guys to see what this guy was kneeling for,
and you're
like, our bad.
I'm like, yo, get out of here.
Keep that, like, same energy, you know? I don't know, that's just me. At the rate that all this shit has been going on for decades and decades of my existence.
Yeah, our whole lives, man.
Our whole lives living with this shit. It's like, the time for peace, I'm pretty much done with it. Your apologies, shove it. If you didn't try to help before, I don't want your help now.
It means nothing to us.
Yeah. The apologies actually mean squat right now. It's
been going on for
too long.
So it's like, enough is enough. You know? if I'm Kaepernick, and like it's like it's too little, too late, man.
That's it. Moving on, like, cause like, so that's a whole different subject. We could like, we want to stick to sports, and you know, like, I don't want to get into like the Black Lives Matter too deep, cause that's the move. Like back in the day, you had civil rights, and now in our era, it's Black Lives Matter.
For sure.
Don't want to get too deep on it. Want to stick to the sports. So
for sure.
Another thing that's shocking. Before we talk about everybody else reopening, staying with the NFL, aren't you shocked that these guys haven't shown any signs of slowing down? Like, they're planning to start back on schedule.
That's, to me, the most shocking thing. Like, all the other leagues have made adjustments, but the NFL is just like, we're gonna stay the course. How?
Right?
Yeah, how?
Dude, I've heard some wild stuff. I heard that they want to design helmets with face masks in them.
I don't even know. I can highly fathom that. You know,
it's crazy, right? Like you could see the greed in everything. You can see it blatantly.
It's a cash grab.
But to see okay, patient zero was in NBA. It was in the NBA.
Yeah.
And literally since that incident and up until now, have they started training camps?
They're about to. I think with the I think the NFL is staying the owner course, basically. Like, as long as you can make us money, we're gonna do what we gotta do.
We're gonna keep going.
Exactly, where it's not a political thing at this point. It's a financial thing. I mean, I'm shocked. Basically, like, there's no kind of reduced schedule, no nothing. Everything is back to normal.
Yeah, like my shock is very concentrated. Like, I'm not shocked that they want to make money. I'm just shocked that they haven't made any movement whatsoever to say, hey, I think this is how we're going to handle reopening with this coronavirus going on. They haven't made a statement. Even during this, the BLM movement, I haven't heard an owner say anything.
Nothing.
Nada. Nobody's talking about the virus. Nobody's talking about BLM. Everybody from every owner from every team is quiet in the NFL.
It's like they're quiet like mouses. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
can you imagine even Jones, guy Jerry Jones, is quiet? Can you imagine that?
Exactly. And Jerry Jones is not exactly known for being quiet.
You know what I mean? Like, he loves cameras. Yeah. You know, nobody else could get a camera on them. Like, you might as well, you think he would try to get a camera on him. Not even.
Exactly. Which makes things very suspicious. But, I don't know. Every other league is taking precautions. You got the MLB, you know, with their 60-game schedule. You got the NBA in Orlando and NHL. Everything is like, everything has a plan, but
NFL starts July 28th with their camp training.
So NFL is on schedule to July 28th for training camp.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
It's absolutely insane.
And the NHL would be in...
Well, we'll get to the NHL when we get there.
Yeah, it's just
July 3rd. That's even sooner. But
it's nuts.
But wait, hold on. We glossed over the MLB. Okay,
yeah.
Let's close the chapter on the NFL. Look, the MLB.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't even. Is there going to be a season now? I mean, it's like there's a 60-game schedule, but there's no final plans.
Can you break down for me, like, real quick, what has been happening with Major League Baseball?
Basically,
since before, like, because the pandemic hit before the season could even start.
Yeah, they're about to open up spring training, and then with the pandemic, it's just, everything had to be back and forth between the players, or the players going back and the owners going back and forth, and now it's like they've gone back and forth saying we're gonna have this baseball in we're not now. It's like greatly reduced to like a 60-game schedule. So I don't know. It's going back and forth.
Like I know, like the decisions that are being made is like over salary. I heard that they want to cut salaries because it's going to be a shortened season.
And the players were like, "No, we want to get paid."
But the players want full money. They want to get paid in full.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to make, if you want us to play, pay us.
Right. And are they going by this hub system like all the other leagues are trying to do, or the two other leagues are trying to do?
I think no. I think they're going to try to concentrate more in division to keep it in the division. Like you're gonna keep it like AL East is gonna play mostly AL. It's gonna be heavily concentrated like that.
Okay, so AL versus AL, NL versus NL, and concentrated.
Pretty much, exactly. I mean, and I think that's the problem with the MLB, because the MLB's schedule is a lot longer. Like they play a lot of games and they play like everywhere.
Okay, what's the max game? I keep forgetting what their schedule is. What's the max games for a baseball team?
162 games.
162 games.
Yeah, so you got to factor that in. That's not even factoring in spring training. So that's crazy that it's going to be reduced to 60 games. So
they're getting rid of like 100 games.
Pretty much, exactly. Because you got to factor this is already, you've missed the All-Star game, you missed preseason, you missed everything. So it's like, it definitely seems like a cash grab.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at what all these leagues do. It's
a money thing.
Like, look, we did a podcast with Greg, like, some time back on the Greg Cool's Cool Thoughts podcast.
Yeah.
Check it out. He's on Spotify and iTunes.
But, for sure.
We talked about, and I mentioned too, I was like, is it really a big rush to have sports come back? Is it really, and the fact that we're going through this rush, look at the cases are spiking in the United States compared to here in Canada.
I think it's exactly.
Why? What's the big rush for sports, dude? How about we just write this year off and come back and play your sports next year? You know what I mean? Like, what is the big fucking deal? Like, you don't have a champion for 2020. Whoa. Like, we've never had strikes before, you know, like.
Exactly. Look what happened in 1994.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't seem like sports, like with the pandemic, there should be more of a priority on that than it was sports. That's, you know, especially with a lot of people dying and stuff like that. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's not like in both, like, for the most part, athletes, from what I see, don't get super affected by this virus.
Yeah, it's more.
We're talking about guys that are in peak of their human condition. But
yeah,
it's not to say that this virus hasn't claimed some young people and people without any underlying conditions, too. You know, it's not to say that the people working in the venues, in these stadiums and arenas,
aren't we're not saying
susceptible. Coaches who are near the age, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're not saying people are not affected, but it just—it's amazing that people are gonna be doing sports this year. You know,
especially with baseball. Baseball has a lot of staff, right?
A lot. You got manager, you got owners, you've got scouting.
Even in the stadium too. You have to have police officers there.
It's going to be heavily concentrated. Yeah, police, firefighters, safety, security. It's a lot. It's a lot. Which makes me think, is it really worth playing this year?
Yeah.
You know? I honestly think they shouldn't be playing. You know, cancel it this year, come back 2021 if you really want to come back and take it from there. But I think 60 games is...
It's like, I don't know, like, I already thought 100 and some odd games was a lot anyway. But from what I understand from what I hear in on sports radios and baseball experts is that like you need this many games to really get it going, supposedly, like to really like get into a groove and a rhythm for the playoffs. So shortening the season, I can see some players who aren't used to that not opting for that that decision. 60 games, they might say that's not enough.
No, it's you could see the resistance from the Bryce Harpers of the world. You know, that's just an example of Clayton Kershaw's and Mookie Betts. Like, no, we need our schedule. We need our time to adjust.
Yeah. I think that's with any league, really. I mean, you can't just lock everybody down for 3 or 4 months and say, all right, start playing this sport at a high intensity level. Let's go.
It doesn't work like that. You know?
You know what I mean?
Like, I can't even imagine, like, with, you know, the NBA about to reopen, like, you know.
Yeah, well, like, even sooner than that, the NHL is reopening. Andy, you said July 3rd? Mm-hmm. So, NHL is reopening.
Well, they're training.
Or their training camp, sorry.
The training camp.
Now, they're going to have hub cities for the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. They're discussing Toronto.
Toronto?
Yeah, but nothing's really being confirmed. Like NBA is 100% confirmed it's going to be Orlando, but NHL's just floating cities, basically.
Okay, so, like, are all these cities supposedly going to be situated in Canada, or did they come up with...
There's no concrete, really, like, cities, really, right now. Like, there's no... They're discussing cities, basically, like... Toronto, Chicago, it's nothing's concrete. The only thing concrete with the NHL is the regular season is over. Like when it starts, it's going to be playoff format. So, yeah.
Like they've decided, regular season is done. When they come back, they're settling the playoffs,
and that's it.
But I mean, like a lot of processes have happened even before that decision came down. I mean, they had a draft recently, right?
Yes, they did, and the fact of the matter is, there's no, number one overall, like, nothing's been decided with the number one overall draft pick. So, you could have a Pittsburgh Penguin, Pittsburgh or Washington have a number one overall pick.
Which is complete bullshit.
Exactly, so it's like... Where's the like, or Tampa Bay? Can you even imagine that?
Yeah, like, I mean, their drafting system has always been weird to me. NHL.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I've never understood it. Even sometimes the playoffs confuse the fuck out of me. So from year to year.
Exactly. So it's like you win the cup, but then you're gonna get rewarded.
Yeah. Or
essentially.
And so their NHL is trying to come back. They have they want to do hub cities and stuff like that to concentrate all the players to play in, but I don't know about I haven't heard much of the NFL about cases. I haven't heard much about the baseball about cases, but NHL, I think there's 26 confirmed positive coronavirus.
It's crazy.
26. I mean, 26 is not a lot compared to like the 1,000 some odd players that play in the NHL. But I've already heard a top name went down a couple of days ago. Austin Matthews.
Yeah, that's a big name player.
You know, talking about what's the term I'm looking for? Like he's a goalie, like a season goal leader.
Yeah, he is a major player.
Major player. And he's going to be tested positive. Now imagine, you know, you rush into it and these tests aren't perfect. Okay?
Yeah.
So let's say he would have gotten a negative, but it would have been false. And you obviously are going to have Austin Matthews on the ice. He's not going to be one of these guys you're going to say, well, I don't need to play him or put him at risk or... he's a big ticket item. you're going to want to put him on the ice. Suppose that that test was a false negative. Well, you just went and screwed up your whole team.
Yeah, that's exactly. Without having, you know, a cure or a plan, it's like you're putting other people at risk.
And that's what I'm saying. That adds to the whole shock, man. Like, what is the big deal? Like, look, you have your superstars that are infected. Are you going to be able to give us a product worth paying for? Because, like, even if nobody could go to the arenas to watch these games, we're going to have to watch these things online. Am I going to want to see the third line play a full game? You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's not the same. You know what I mean? It's just that much of a risk. And I don't know if it's really, I mean, time will tell, basically.
Yeah, but, and it's coming up soon. We're talking within the next couple of months. We're about to see the effects of or the decision to bring sports back into effect. Like, it seems like as fast as everything came to a halt back in March is how quickly everything is coming right back up.
And exactly. It's like a fast forward button. It's like, you know, coronavirus never really happened, so we're going to have to readjust everything. And I don't even know. We're not going to really know until things get started again.
And like, just like the other leagues, like, who do you think in the NHL might be somebody, or do you suspect that there's going to be athletes in the NHL that say, no, I'm not going to risk it?
I can think Evander Kane.
Yeah, he just had a baby this year.
Yeah, it's like, it's not worth it. Or Carey Price.
Carey Price, I heard too, he doesn't want to put his family on the line.
Exactly. And I think if they had to cancel the regular season, then you never know. Like, the risk is just there, and it's just, is it really worth playing? You know? Alexander Ovechkin just had a baby.
Yeah, him too. It's going to be really hard to convince any athlete, like, yo, that you just started your family, or is just you're just expanding to your family, and now, like, they're asking you to go and play this sport. Yeah, you get paid well, but you got to go out there and risk your health. Risk bringing this virus back to your home.
Exactly. Like, what are the precautions that are happening? Like, what are the steps, like, you know, to make sure that my security is being protected and my family?
And you know, like, so, let's say the sports get it right. Let's say sports get it right. They're able to keep all these players protected and stuff like that. Nobody catches this virus.
Yeah, knock on wood, you know?
Are we going to take their motto and address it to the rest of the world? Because the United States is looking fucked.
Yeah, they're looking completely like they don't have their stuff together.
They look off. And then, like, and moving on to another league that wants to reopen, and speaking of them being fucked, we see Florida has the new epicenter, supposedly. New York was really bad.
Yeah.
Texas is starting to pick it up, and Florida is starting to pick it up with cases. And Orlando is one of the places they want to restart the NBA. They talk about moving all the players to Disney World.
Orlando having it. We have no idea how that's going to work, you know?
Like, I have more details on the NBA than any other sport. Like, I know there's a lot of, like, we heard today Spencer Dinwiddie tested positive. Patient Zero, as we call him, Rudy Gobert, was a domino effect of everything locking down.
And Nikola Jokic.
Donovan Mitchell, Christian Woods.
It's so big. It's
crazy. And now, even with them attempting to reopen in Orlando, there's players that are already saying no.
We don't want to risk it. And is it really worth saying, let's scrap the season, come back in 2021?
Yeah, start from scratch. But I see what you mean by that. But do you think that's something good for somebody like, let's say, LeBron?
LeBron is, yeah.
LeBron doesn't have many more years left in the league to play at the capacity that he is.
Which, I mean, LeBron's 36 years old, 35, 36, so it's like, he doesn't have many peak years. So, you can see the argument, I want to play. Whereas a Zion would be like, you know, this is the beginning of my career. I can take a year off and come back stronger. Whereas LeBron doesn't really have that luxury. So
yeah, so I can see someone like LeBron wanting to come back like quickly into a season and try to see if he could squeeze in another championship. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You don't. And they have pretty much loaded up for LeBron. It's a different thing. I mean, you have AD, you have LeBron, you have, it's so packed.
Yeah, like let's say, like, well, basically to say, if they want to win, now's the time to win.
It's a win-win. It's a win now.
They got to win now.
They got to put all their eggs in one basket. So LeBron's like, hey, if we're going to make money off this, hey, I'm down. You know?
Now, do you think that's a league that'll shut down if too many superstars opt out or test positive for the virus?
They've been
in the lead so far when it comes to handling this virus. Out of all the sports leagues, the NBA has done it very carefully. And if, like Stan Van Gundy, I heard him say on a podcast, if the NBA can't figure it out, nobody can.
They don't have, exactly. Like, the NBA is the test scenario. In terms of in North America, like, we're not talking about soccer in Europe, we're talking in North America, in the U.S. particularly. Mm. The NBA is the standard bearer, I mean, in terms of restarting the league because of the coronavirus. I mean, no disrespect to the other leagues.
Yeah, because I know there's soccer leagues that have started already, like, probably, I think, a couple months ago.
Exactly, yeah, the German league that started and finished, they actually finished their season.
Oh, wow.
There's
Korean baseball too going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about North America and how, you know, I can see the argument of playing, I can see the argument of not playing, but, I mean, you just don't know how it's going to go once I think everything starts here. In the States or in Canada, if it happens with the NHL or NBA.
Well, basically, with everybody reopening, this is going to be the giant lab test.
Exactly.
But personally, my personal opinion, I think for the sake of the economy, any nation is willing to test out herd immunity.
Yeah.
But science says you can't have herd immunity unless 60% of the people are immune, and that's not happening. That's not happening. I mean, I'm not no super scientist, but I nerd out on viruses when they come up. Ever since SARS, I've been watching a lot of these things carefully because I'm like, it's terrifying. Something small you can't see can murder you. That's fucked up.
Yeah, it's scary. Knock on wood, you know. It's a scary situation, you know.
You know what I mean?
And there's no... There's no vaccine, there's no plan, you know?
Well, there's a treatment. I just heard this morning, Gilead, they have the remdesivir.
Oh, wow.
Remdesivir treatment that can limit your suffering from the coronavirus down it by 50%, so in half.
That's a game changer.
That's a game changer, but you know the States... economically greedy as they are, as we can see with all these sports trying to reopen quickly, I seen one article early in the morning saying $1,000-something for the treatment, US. By the afternoon, it was like over $2,000 for this treatment now.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Just that, like, I've been watching a lot of, like, economic history and details about the United States, that even some to do with other nations and ours, man, we're talking about greed.
That's exactly what it is.
It's fucking greedy, man.
It's money talks.
Yep. And with everything reopening, we're gonna see how far that money goes.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna see it exactly once things money talks, bullshit walks. I mean, that's the test of time, basically.
You know what I mean? All right, now we're like this podcast is going long, but I can't end this podcast at all. I'm sorry, Annie. I know Annie looking at me. She's like,
I don't understand.
You know what I mean? Like, she's like, yo, you guys talk about sports is boring shit. But I can't end this podcast without talking about the Netflix sensation.
The last. We gotta go with that. We have to cover it.
As we speak right now, we have both seen the entire series. All of it has played. There's no spoilers. All of it has played on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Now, everyone has it.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was about to say everyone has their own opinion of it. You know.
Well, yeah. So. I mean, like we've seen some flare-ups after the fact.
Yeah.
Horace Grant not too pleased with Michael Jordan now.
And Pippen's on it.
Pippen ain't happy with him. Charles Barkley refused to be his friend anymore.
That's actually Jordan's refused to be Barkley's friend.
Oh, it's the other way around.
It's not Barkley. Barkley still considers Jordan his friend, but because Barkley was critical of Jordan and his general manager skills, you know, Jordan's like, you know what, bye. So that's a 30-year friendship. It's scary.
The dude is a savage competitor.
He's savage. He is.
Like, I knew he was good. I knew he had a work ethic that was beyond most people. I didn't know he was like that. Like,
he was. Exactly.
Wow.
You're going to sacrifice a 30-year friendship. And basically, Jordan's saying, you think you're going to judge me like that? Bye.
Yeah, he's very, like, open and shut. He doesn't take any bullshit. When you're a dude like him that has had successes like he has, in the way that he did it, basically, literally willed himself into being successful. He's like, look, I want this. This is how hard I gotta work. This is how I'm gonna get it, and I'm gonna get it.
By any means.
And just really, like, did not give a fuck. Had a not give a fuck attitude. Like, okay, because we don't want to, like, we want to talk about The Last Dance, but just to shorten everything down.
Yeah.
What is the one singular thing from this documentary? All 10 episodes, it's 10 episodes, right?
Yeah.
10 episodes, and all the 10 episodes covering the Chicago Bulls during their championship era. Or even beyond that, whatever was in this documentary, what is the one thing that stuck out to you? And after all these years, you're like, I didn't fucking know that.
The one thing that stuck out to me is they could have kept Dynasty going.
Yeah, but like that's we later see that's the owner's fault.
Yeah, you just.
I mean, they put all the blame on What's his name? Jerry?
Jerry Krause? And the Jerry Krause general manager, but Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner, and...
But it's really, like, they put it all on the general manager, but it's really the owner. He's the one that writes the checks.
Yeah, it's Reinsdorf. If he really wanted to continue, he could have... It could have continued.
Now, why do you think that is? You think it's greed? He didn't want to pay these guys all that money?
I don't know. It's very, like, everything is, all the mud's being slung on the general manager. But if if the owner said, I want to continue this, he would have continued it.
Yes.
That's like, it.
I don't see what the general manager could do if the owner is like, no, make sure all these guys come back.
If he said, if Reinsdorf goes across, look, I want Phil Jackson, I want Jordan, I want Rodman, I want Pippen back. I don't care what you think. This is happening. Like, why would you break it up?
That's it.
Like, if Jordan's... Yeah. No, it's just crazy. It's just, it's crazy. Like, you don't get, you don't stop it. You don't stop a plan from happening. You don't stop success.
Yeah, like, you know? Why, well, what's the incentive to stop success? The only thing I could possibly think of, because it's absolutely absurd to do what he did, the only thing I could possibly think of is greed. Because, let's face it, Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman were coming back for huge contracts.
Yeah.
After a sixth championship.
Exactly. Pippen was grossly underpaid. Grossly. You know? Grossly. The fact of the matter is, we're not even, it's a financial thing. Pippen was going to get paid.
Yeah, I just feel it was greed. Like, maybe the owner didn't want to
pay him.
Pay Pippen specifically. Maybe this was a low blow to Pippen because of the way he handled things with the organization.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that he was the sixth highest paid bull.
And a top 50 player of all time.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I mean, come on. Pippen is made as much money as Evan Fournier does now.
Wow. That tells me all I need to know.
You know what I mean? All
right. You're telling me Evan Fournier is as valuable as Pippen. Get out of here.
You're serious, right?
I'll smack the... I mean, any sane guy will, like, smack the crap out of you. No. Get out of here.
Come on, man. It's just, it's like...
I'll smack the crap at you who think Evan Fournier is as good a player as Pippen.
But get out of here. Like, I don't business about how anybody, like... Everybody has their own opinion about the documentary, you know.
Yeah.
Some people want to shit on Jerry Krause. I feel like the dude was kind of a genius when he started adding pieces like Rodman.
Yeah, he reloaded.
You know, like, he shows some real intellect on how to build a team.
Exactly.
For the dynasty breaking apart, I totally blame ownership. I mean, who else can you blame?
Exactly.
Like, everybody wanted to come back. Everybody wanted another championship. What's the problem?
You know, I think it's on Reinsdorf. I think if Reinsdorf really wanted to continue, it would have continued.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the bottom line.
Keep a good thing going. I don't see why not. It's greed, exactly. Man. My fingers point to greed. That's where I go with that.
It's money. Money talks.
That's it.
They could have continued that to 99. Maybe it would have 2000. But you don't. Yeah, we'll never know. It's the biggest what if.
Serious.
But
the one thing that stuck out to me, like the one singular thing. And it was very early in that documentary that I found this out. And I didn't even fucking notice. Or maybe I knew and I forgot. I don't know. Like, that Jordan won a gold medal as a rookie?
Yep. That's 1984.
An Olympic gold medal as a rookie?
Yep. That's going back. I mean...
That's amazing.
That, it's crazy.
You can imagine being a young man, young as he was. And you're literally stepping onto the stage already being the best in the world.
Exactly. That's...
If that doesn't fuel you right from the jump, I don't know what does.
Nothing will. No.
Nothing will. You're a gold medalist. You can literally go on to look at every other rookie playing the same year you are and be like... You don't got one of these, though. You know what I mean?
I got a gold medal around my neck. What do you have?
You know, and like literally going hard for that championship in the NBA. He didn't get it at first, but eventually he got it, man.
And what he, you know, and he stayed on top.
Seriously.
Once he got on top.
Dominated a decade.
The 90s. Say what you will. The 90s was the Bulls.
Yeah, man.
And Jordan, specifically.
Specifically Jordan. That's all his.
It's Jordan.
Now, I wanted to close this off with a little like talk about Vince Carter, but there was like there's a Netflix special that came out about Vince Carter. We're not gonna get too deep into that because we're gonna mosey on out of here soon. And you didn't see the Netflix special yet.
I haven't had the opportunity to watch it yet, but
I tell you, I suggest that you give it a watch. It's very interesting.
For sure.
One of the things that I could spoil alert for people right now with Vince Carter is that we would not have bottle service here in Canada if not for Vince Carter.
Yay, so, whoever you are. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah.
I repeat, we would not have bottle service in the club if not for Vince Carter. So we need to big him up for that. We need to...
For sure.
Bid him farewell in retirement and the best of luck to him for everything he did for the Toronto Raptors when he was here. I know some of you are salty. I know. But if you watch the documentary, it'll set things right, I feel. A little bit.
Exactly. I haven't seen the documentary personally, so, you know.
It's worth the watch. It's really worth it. For sure. Vince Carter is retiring this year. Unfortunately, didn't get to finish out the rest of the season. But he's the last. I think he's the last one of our 90s class.
Yeah, end of an era.
Yeah, I think it was him and Dirk. And Dirk retired the year before, and now Vince is the last one.
The last
rookie from our high school years.
Yeah, it's truly end of an era.
Serious, man. So we're gonna mosey on out of here. Before I give our credentials and my shout outs, Nick, I want to thank you for doing this podcast.
For sure, man. I'm happy to do it, man.
This has been awesome. I hope that everybody listening, this was entertaining. We talked a lot about sports, which we don't really get to do regularly on the podcast.
For sure.
Give a shout out to Khadija.R on Instagram. Shout out to Reems, REEMS on SoundCloud.com. If you want any information about us, keep updated with us on Facebook, facebook.com/chillvillains. That's memes, vids, and stay chill. Otherwise, look for us on Instagram at
chillvillains.
And that's about it. Nick, you got an ad? You want to put your ad out there for Instagram?
Yeah, go and check me out on Instagram.
At what?
Chilling. Well, I'm on the Chilling with Villains basically right now.
Okay, so look for you on the Chilling with Villains page.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't even remember what your ad is off the top of the head either.
No, exactly. I think go on the Chilling Villains and we'll take it from there.
All right, cool. So if you have any complaints, you hate the coronavirus, you hate wearing masks, you send those complaints to chillwithvillains@gmail.com. Without further ado, this is Gary the Villain leaving the building. My co-host Anya Think Tank in the house.
Bye.
That dude Nick.
What's going on?
On behalf of Mr. Smith and Jess Filmin, that's all we got to say about that shit.
Yeah.